two different places. First, John chapter number 7, and then over in Matthew chapter number 15 for a little while. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I do want you to reverence the reading of the Word of God. First in John chapter 7, and then over in Matthew chapter 15, you can follow along. John chapter 7, verse number 40, the Word of God said, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said," yeah, you've always got some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him, and there still is. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. They said unto them, 'Why have ye not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.'" Amen. Amen. I believe we could all agree tonight, nobody ever spake like Jesus. No one ever had the voice of creation, the voice of all power, the voice of all authority like Jesus. This was God wrapped in flesh, walking among men. He stood on a boat and cried, "Peace be still," and the winds and the waves obeyed his command. And the men that had been with him and watched him said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his command?" He's God. He's God. That's who he is. There were some that disagreed. There was always going to be some that doubt. There's always going to be those skeptics. And I believe in the day and hour in which we live, there's more of them today than there ever have been before. There's more people trying to do away with the name of Jesus seemingly today than there are those trying to promote the name of Jesus. But I can't help but still promote him and brag on him and try to lift him up while I still have a little bit of opportunity, a little bit of time, because I believe where the Word of God said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me, unto myself." There's still opportunity for us to tell somebody else about the goodness of God, about his mercy, about his grace, about what he's done for us. When I pastored several years ago, I did pastor a church for about 7 years. And you all know that story. Seven is the number of completion and perfection. God said I was done there. And the whole time I was there, the Lord blessed and people were saved and the church was edified. And there were things done because Jesus is still Lord. And Jesus still speaks. Jesus still wants to do a work in the hearts and lives of people. And since I left there, and I've been trying to tell, there have been others that have come. There have been others that have heard. And thank God there are others that have been saved and lives have been changed, not because of me, but because of him. It's still all about him. Where he is lifted up, he will still draw all men unto him. His is the only voice that needs to be heard that will change us from the inside out. He can still do the job. Truly, no one has ever spoken like the Lord Jesus. He spoke to the sick and they were healed. He spoke to the suffering and they were satisfied. He spoke to the soiled and they were cleansed. He spoke to the down and out and they were lifted up. He spoke to the desperate and they were given hope. He spoke to the demoniac and they were delivered. He spoke to the despised and they found love. He spoke to the troubled and they found peace. He spoke to the tempted and they found a way of escape. He's still speaking today, if we'll only hear what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. We need to hear, not only hear, but be doers of what the Word of God has to say to us. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. If every breath I draw from the time now until I have no more breath, I bless the Lord, it still won't be enough." Amen. For over 15 years now, I've tried to preach on the name of Jesus. Now I've recorded more than 740 television programs just bragging on the name of Jesus. And I still hadn't got it, just hadn't got the surface scratched good of talking about Him and bragging on Him and lifting Him up. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. I'm glad Jesus can still speak today if we'll listen to Him. Amen. He spoke in life. He spoke in love. He spoke in liberty. He spoke in light. He spoke in separation. Well, that's something people don't want to talk about anymore. He spoke in sanctification. Yeah, He'll still set you apart for His honor and for His glory. He spoke in satisfaction and He spoke in splendor when He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. If He was to do that tonight, it'd be all right with me. There's not a thing back in Bryson City, North Carolina, I got to go after. Not going to need it anymore. I had a fellow drive up my driveway one year, singing in the Smokies. He came up to the house and got out and looked around. I went out to see what it was all about. I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Well, I just wanted to see where you live. Be nosy." I said, "Well, this is it. This is where we live." He said, "You got a wonderful view here." I said, "Some beautiful down that valley. See that creek running down there about a half a mile away?" He said, "You can see all that valley down. That's beautiful." I said, "Well, yeah, it is. God showed off around here." He said, "I guess you love living here." I said, "Well, it's a good place to live." I said, "But one of these days, Jesus is coming, going to get us out of here. If you're still around, come on back. You can have it." Amen. There's not a thing there that I'm going to need. There's a whole lot of things there I can do without. Some of you will get that later, maybe. I can do without the power bill. I can do without the insurance. I can do without the repairs. Anybody got that yet? Yeah. There's not going to be a thing where I'm going that He has told me about, that His Word declares unto me, that I'm going to need. Amen. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22, the Bible said, "Then behold, a woman of Canaan, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, came out of the same coast," that is, came out the same place that Jesus and His disciples were walking, "and cried unto Him," cried unto the Lord, saying, "O Lord, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Imagine that. Somebody willing to admit it. Amen. Most folks today, a child gets in trouble in school, and the next thing that happens is the teacher gets in trouble for reporting it. Amen. You might as well, because parents today think their kids can't do anything wrong. I got news for you. They can all do wrong, because they're born wrong. Yeah. They were born lost in need of a Savior. They're born in this world to be liars. Right. I got a little grandson, 2 years old, and he hit his little sister, who's 1 year old, in the eye with a ball bat. He calls it wing the bat. He likes to swing the bat. And he hit her with a rubber bat, and that didn't do too much damage. But then he went over and he found a little wooden bat, a little Louisville Slugger about this long, and he was swinging it. And she apparently got in the way, and he hit her right close to the eye. And his mom and dad said, "Now don't be too alarmed." Said, "Her eye's black from where Jackson hit her." And so I went in, and I said, after a while, I said, "Jackson, what happened to Sissy's eye?" He's got a little birthmark under his eye that he was born with. And he looked right straight at me and said, "Birthmark." He's two. Amen. They're coming into this world a lying to you. Amen. We're all born sinners in need of a Savior. And this woman comes out and she says, "Oh Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil." That's far more prevalent problem today than you would believe. Amen. You want to try to explain why a child will take a gun to school and begin to shoot down his classmates? They're vexed with the devil. You want to understand why a young woman will strap her small children in the back seat of a car and push it off into a lake for them to drown so she can be with a boyfriend that didn't want to have any children? She's vexed with the devil. And we've got folks all over the country now that are vexed with the devil. Them that want to kill us for being Christians are vexed with the devil because they have believed a lie of the devil and been possessed with a lie instead of the truth. They would much rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. And those that are doing so many of the things, just like the man that killed the woman out in Oklahoma the other day, he beheaded her because he was vexed with the devil. Now they're sitting in places like the White House. Now they're sitting in places of authority. And they'd rather lie and be told a lie and believe a lie than to believe the truth. They are vexed with the devil. When you look at children today, you look at young people today, and you cannot imagine them not having any more respect or any more gift of knowledge about respecting elders and doing things that are right than what they're doing. The problem is they've been vexed with the devil. They got him off of a video game. They've watched him on television. Hell's become so real on TV, they're not afraid of it anymore. Mortal Kombat has become so great in their eyes that death's not real. Amen. I'm just preaching to you tonight. It's not written down over there anywhere. It's coming hot off the press, and I'm liking reading it to you. The problem is they're vexed with the devil. When you don't understand why they go crazy, why they do such things that they do, it's because the devil has jumped out of that TV into their mind and is controlling them. Amen. They're vexed with the devil, and it's a real problem, more today than it ever has been before. And the reason of that is that the spirit of Antichrist is far greater today than it ever has been before. The devil knows he's got just a little bit of time left. He knows more about it than you do, and he's got just a little bit of time left, and he's going to try his best to wreak havoc upon anybody and everybody that professes the truth in their heart and their life. Amen. Amen. You say, "Well, why are you talking this away? You're trying to bring us down?" No, I'm trying to get you excited. I'm trying to thrill you over the fact that when you see these things, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. It's about over. We're about ready to get out of here. A trumpet's going to sound. And a glory to God. And a voice going to ring out with a shout. And those that are saved and know the truth in their heart, have heard Jesus speak peace to their soul, are going to get out of here. Amen. This woman comes to Jesus and she says, "Oh Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I've got a daughter that's grievously vexed with the devil." But the Bible said he answered her not a word. Whoa. Now, I'm sure that was a discouragement to her. There's no doubt in my mind but what she had seen him in operation before. There's no doubt in my mind but what she knew of the things that he had done up until this moment. There's no doubt in my mind that she knew who he was. Amen. Because of what she said about him. Because of what she called him. O Lord, thou son of David. She knew that he was a son of David, an heir to the throne of Israel. Amen. I don't have any doubt but what she knew that this was the Messiah, the promised one of God, the anointed one that had been sent from the Father to come into this world that he might do a work in the name of Israel. To fulfill the promise of God that they'd all been looking for. No, she was not of the commonwealth of Israel. She was a stranger. She was not a member of the family. And so by calling him the son of David, she had no right to him. Amen. As a Gentile, I had no right to him either. I couldn't call upon him as the son of David because I don't have any Jewish blood in my body. But thanks be unto God, he came by where I was. He offered himself to me. Hallelujah to God. I feel like taking a lap around the building right now. He offered himself to me and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call upon me while I'm near. Amen. Jesus came to her and stood as she said, Lord, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm glad when I called on him and said, Lord, have mercy on me, the Holy Ghost said he already has. You're not in hell. Amen. I said, Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. He said, okay. He jumped right into my heart, kicked hell out, and unloaded glory, and I ain't got over that yet. Amen. And I am eternally saved because he heard me. But the reason he heard me is because he knocked on my heart's door. Amen. She's standing there. He hadn't said a word. She's discouraged. She knew what he could do. She'd seen him in operation. She'd heard about those that came to him blind and went away seeing. She'd seen those that had come to him lame and went away walking. She knew about those that had been sick and now had been healed by the word of his mouth. Now she's wondering, why is he not talking to me? Why is he not speaking to me? Anybody here ever prayed and seemed like the heavens were brass and you couldn't get a prayer through? Seemed like nobody was listening? If you've ever been saved, it doesn't take you too long to find that out. Amen. But it wasn't because he didn't hear. It wasn't because he didn't hear. Amen. No, he hears every single word. And sometimes he says no. Sometimes you can take that silence to mean no. But he never says no. But what if there's a better yes? Amen. He never says no. But what? There is a better yes. Sometimes we ask amiss. We ask amiss, it means that we didn't ask in the will of God. We didn't ask for what is best for us. We didn't ask for what he already knows to be better than what we asked for. Amen. Yeah. He hears every word. He heard every word that she had to say. He just had not responded to it. He stood there and had not said a word. And I'm sure it was discouragement to her. I know every time I prayed and it seemed like heaven was silent, it was a discouragement to me. So what'd you do? You pray again. And you pray again. And you pray again. Until you hear the prayer bells of heaven being rung. And when you pray until you hear the prayer bells being rung, there'll be an answer on the line. When you get in shape to hear what thus saith the Word of God, when you get in shape to hear what Jesus wants you to hear, then there'll be an answer. Amen. She's standing there wondering, and I'm sure it's now by now as she's walked along and the disciples, she's bothering them. She's, why won't he talk to me? Why won't he speak to me? Why won't he answer me? They looked at Jesus and said, send her away. She's crying after us. She's not dressed right. She's not Jewish. She's not a part of the family. She's not one of the locals. Amen. She's not one of the clique. Oh, you got it now. They said, send her away. She's crying after us. She's a bother. She's an embarrassment. What are these people going to say? We walk down the road and she's following after us. Uh-oh. Some of the commentaries I read said that they wanted Jesus to go ahead and answer her and just to get her out of the way. Some said that the disciples actually probably did want her to get what she wanted from the Lord, but they did want her out of the way. Amen. Somebody comes along with a different way of dress. They would come along with a different way of doing things that we're not used to. Somebody from up north comes down south, and we'd rather they didn't. Wonder how they feel up north when one of us goes up there. Y'all got it now. They wanted rid of her. She was an embarrassment to them. She didn't act the way that she was supposed to act. She didn't talk the way that she was supposed to talk. She didn't look like she was supposed to look. They wanted rid of her. She was discouraged because Jesus didn't talk to her. Now she's even more discouraged because his bunch that is traveling with him didn't want her. And they're wanting him to send her away. Then Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh boy. Here we go again. How much more discouragement is she going to take? I wasn't sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was making a statement that made it perfectly plain and clear. He was sent by his Father to the house of Israel. It was for him to come and for them who were of the household of Israel to be able to see him walk and to talk and to show them the glory of God as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They had to come to realize who he was. Even though the Gentile woman probably already believed who he was, those of the household of faith did not. They were rejecting him. I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm come to be the sacrifice for all sin. I'm to do away with this sacrificial system that bothers God and has never satisfied him. This atonement that has been made every year and they're bringing to God all kinds of junk. Yeah, Israel was still making sacrifice, but they were bringing to God anything they wanted to. They'd got away from the ritual that God had sent them up for. Now they were just bringing whatever they took a notion. Mm.
How many times do we just give God our leftovers? Just give him what we want him to have instead of what we know he deserves. Jesus was sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came and fulfilled the promises that were given to the sons of Jacob in the Word of God. The things that had been written about him, the promises of God, the Word of God, the prophecies that had been brought about him, he came to fulfill each and every one of them. But they received him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But, I love that little word right there. But, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Here was a little Gentile, Syrophoenician woman that believed on his name. Son of David, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Jesus looked at her and she looked at him. She came and the Bible said she came and worshiped him. She came and worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. Acknowledging the fact that he's worthy to be worshiped and praised, even though you didn't get what you wanted. Thank you, Jesus. Acknowledging the fact that he was worthy to be worshiped, even though he had not granted to her the petition she had brought before him. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard for me sometimes. Even though I know it to be a fact. Amen. Too many of us have decided that if God ain't going to do it the way we want it done, we just ain't going to have it. Yeah. We get mad at God every time something happens that doesn't go the way we expected it to. A whole lot of folks are sitting on church pews tonight mad at God for something that happened in their life 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago that they ain't got over yet. There is a forgotten beatitude that says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. When you come to a place that it doesn't matter what comes along, you still trust God and you still praise the Lord and you're still willing to take whatever comes because you know he's right, you can do business with him. She acknowledged the fact he is Lord. And she worshiped him even though he had not given her what she had desired. And she said, Lord, help me. Three times already she's been discouraged. And here comes number four. He looked at her and said, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto dogs. Uh-oh. Now, I've heard those that argued that said he didn't call her a dog, but it's written in the King James Bible, so I ain't going to argue with that. Amen. I do believe he called her a dog. Why? Because at that moment in time, all Jews called Gentiles dogs. And they did it with just reason, because they had known their arrogance and their hatred and their maliciousness and their cruelty and their violence to them. But she was not offended. She was not offended by what he said. She still had a problem that he was the only one could help her with. And she was still willing to worship him and to honor him and to praise him and to call him Lord,
even though he had not sent her the blessing that she required. After all these discouragements, I believe by this time she's down on her knees and she's worshiped him and she's cried. And she said, Lord, help me. I believe she looked at him and said, truth, Lord. You've told me the truth. You say I am a dog, I am a dog. But yet, the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, Lord, you are master. I'll take whatever you'll give me. Glory to God. I'll just take whatever you'll give me. Because I know that, Lord, as master, you're perfect. You don't make any mistakes. You'll do it right. If you don't do what I want done, it'll still be right. Amen. Went into a nursing home several years ago, and there were several little ladies that were sitting there in the vestibule, just sitting around in wheelchairs. And I walked in, and I thought I was going to do something big. I was going to be a blessing to them folks. Yeah. I walked in and began to shake hands with them, and each one I came to had a smile on their face and was looking up, and their eyes were sparkling, and they were as happy as I've ever seen anybody. And the more I shook hands and spoke to them and asked them how they were doing, the better I felt, because they were blessing me. I finally got to the last one, and she was a little frail lady, couldn't have weighed 80 pounds sitting in that wheelchair. And she looked up at me and grinned from ear to ear. And I said, ma'am, how are you doing tonight? She said, oh, I'm just sitting here waiting on the Lord to call. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm contented. Everything's well with me. I'm just ready for him to take me home. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for him to take us home to be with him. But I'm also ready for whatever he wants to give. Not because I'm so good, but because I know he is. Because he still works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He's not going to make a mistake. He's going to do it right. Just because you don't think it's right doesn't mean that it is not right. Amen. Because you don't agree with him. See, he sees the end from the beginning and knows everything in between. He's not going to make a mistake. She said, Lord, even us dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from our master's table. He looked back at her, and by now these disciples, they're scattered out. They didn't want to be around what's going on. He looked at her and said, woman, great is thy faith. Her faith was shining brighter than a diamond. Everybody around now was wondering what in the world he's doing with that woman. Now he looks at her and says, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thy wilt. And just the moment he spoke it, her daughter was made whole. I don't know what about you needs a word from God. I don't know what you need from Him, but I know that all He has to do is speak the word, and it's done. It's done. But He needs some faith to be shown in Him. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So I'm asking you tonight, what do you need? What do you need for Jesus to say and to do in your life, in your family, in your situation, in your circumstances? What do you need? All He has to do is speak. But unless you're going to believe Him, you're not going to hear Him say it. Amen. Stand to your feet. His word was sufficient for her need. It still is. I know there are many things in this world that are discouraging. There are many desperate things, despicable things, even drastic things that are going on in the lives of people today, brought about by the world, the flesh, and the devil, trying to make us down and defeated, trying to steal away our joy, trying to steal our excitement and our enthusiasm and our vitality for the things of God and for His Word. But His Word is still true, and His truth can still be applied to all our hearts and lives. It ain't no time to look around. It ain't no time to look down. It's time to look up. Listen up. Pray up. And believe up. It's not over till the trumpet sounds. These words of life, spoken by the Master Himself, can be taken as words of life for all of us. I hope you've been encouraged by the fact that He said unto you, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know about you, but I am encouraged with the fact that He hears and answers prayer. What do you need from Him tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray the Holy Spirit of God Himself might visit every heart and every pew. Lord, I have no doubt there are some folks in this building tonight that are lost and undone without God. They've never heard Jesus speak peace to their heart. Or they may have made a decision. They may have joined the church. They may have been baptized. But they've never been born again. God, I pray that You would help them to understand, to comprehend, to be convicted by the Spirit of God. They need to hear Jesus speak peace to their heart, to come into their soul, to abide, to be born again. Then, Father, I pray for those that are here tonight that are discouraged, that are down and out, that got problems and circumstances and situations that they don't really know what to do with. I'm glad You know what to do with. Encourage them with the fact tonight that You're still Lord. You're still the Master. You're still God, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So God, I pray You'd speak to their heart tonight and help them to trust You, to believe, and to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. While we sing, Brother Tim's going to sing. You need something from the Lord tonight. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own. Just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Could I have heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment, please? How many of you can testify to the fact, preacher, I know I'm saved? I know beyond doubt that I am saved. I've been born again. I'm going to testify to that fact right now by a lifted hand. How many can do that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's wonderful. Now, is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I don't know. I don't know that I'm saved. I'd love for you to pray for me. I want to know. I want to have that assurance in my heart that I'm going to heaven. That I'm going to live with Jesus one day. Here's my hand for prayer. Anybody like that in the building tonight? Anybody at all? Somebody here say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I haven't trusted God like I should. I haven't taken Him at His word like I should. I haven't done with Him in faith what I should have done. I'm asking you to pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. The Master calleth for thee. He has a blessing for you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It still works. Put it to practice, and God will bless you for it. You need to slip down to this altar and pray and ask God to help you. Right now is the time. Right now is the time.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power all surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
It's for us to be here today. We always thank God for the privilege to come to Gateway. Please keep us in your prayers that God would use us to be a blessing to churches all around over the country. We want to help folks by pointing them to the Lamb of God, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Good Lord willing, we'll be back with you in January for Jubilee. Always look forward to that. But if Jesus has come first, don't look for us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you enjoyed that message tonight? Say amen. Amen. Brother Mike, when you get situated, I'd like for you to go ahead and go back to the back. You and Miss Boo, let folks have a chance to speak with you. A few fellows that went back this morning and held the offering plates, if you'll go back that route again, Tom, need about 3 offering plates, brother. And Brother RG, if you and Brother Ledford to go back and help again tonight. If you didn't get a chance to be a blessing to the man of God today, Brother Mike, he's a full-time evangelist. And I'm trying to think of the name of that broadcast he does. I've actually seen it. It's on demand on Charter, if you didn't know that. Appreciate that. That's a work of faith, and you want to give to contribute to that. It'd be good to get ahead. You heard him talking about the days, and December is a slow month for evangelists. And so everything you give will be a blessing to him. He's not building empires, and you saw his vehicle. He's driving a minivan out there. He's not driving a Cadillac. What is that, Denali or whatever that is he's using for the ministry. And we want to be a help and encouragement to Brother Mike. And I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this, but I think he's made some CDs. If you sweet talk him and pay him up front, he might mail you one. So if you mention that to him or Sister Boo, you know the rule around church, and God we trust, all others must pay cash. And I'd a whole lot rather him owe me than me owe him, wouldn't you? You be sure and go by, and if you did have a chance to give, you those fellows will be back there, and you be sure and tell them how much you appreciate them. I believe they're driving back tonight, so you pray God to give them traveling mercies as they go up the road. You're at liberty to go.